Today's scripture passages speak to how we, as Christians, should act in today's broken world. Both scriptures counsel connection, communication, and understanding with all of God's people to bring God's kingdom on earth today. While Leviticus focuses on priestly laws and God's authority, these passages get personal, ending with, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The verses from Matthew are the last portion from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus wants the disciples to realize what it means to be his disciples in the world. He helps them realize that following him will mean meeting up with those with whom they would rather not come in contact. It requires loving all, friends and those outside their immediate circle. The first reading is from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2 and 9 through 18. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare, or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord, your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. And you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. And you should not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf, or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you should not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor or will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And then from Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. "You have heard it said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The word of God for the people of God.
In Leviticus, Moses goes to Mount Sinai to receive God's word for the people of Israel. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus goes to the mount and delivers his word to the disciples. Today, both scriptures and the challenges offered up by these words ask us to strive to be our better selves, to go the extra mile, to take that extra step, and to live counterculturally. I too have a word for you, and that word is that we should begin with prayer. Please pray with me. Holy One, be in this place, in my words, in our thoughts and hearts. Make us in your generous love. Stretch us, challenge us, gift us with your wisdom, that we might be holy as you are holy. Amen. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. 16 times this verse occurs in Leviticus, which suggests it is something to which we should pay attention. What is God commanding to us? God is providing a script on how we are to act in relations with one another. Leviticus is essentially a guide for being in relationship with God, with ourselves, and with others. The moral codes in Leviticus may talk about blood and laws and cleanliness, but these are not the point. The meaning of Leviticus is to recognize what is holy, to honor the holy in one another and the integrity of oneself in the intention to live in holy relationships. However, living and loving one's neighbor in the time of Leviticus was generally understood as fellow Israelites. It was clear that the Israelites were obliged to follow the covenant with regard to one another, but not necessarily beyond their covenant community and beyond their neighborhood. In Matthew, Jesus, as the new Moses, is interpreting the Jewish laws for the day, for a new group of exiles. Jesus is speaking to his followers and those who associate the law with the powerful and who are the guardians of its precise following. Jesus is not saying that Leviticus is wrong, but it is an inadequate interpretation. For Jesus, the laws as outlined don't go far enough and cannot bring people into a transformational relationship with God. God's holiness requires us to live justly and truthfully in relation to others, all others, including those beyond our covenant neighborhood. It is so much more than following the letters of the law. This summons to holiness originates in the moral authority of God. I am the Lord. This obedience to God commands more than religious devotion. It requires the affirmation to be matched by action. Model obedience to God through love of others. Strengthening this motivation is the phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. At the deepest level, loving others flows from the recognition that they are like us, that they bear the image of God just as we do. In telling us to love our enemies, Jesus is not speaking of feelings, but actions that flesh out one's faithfulness. This is praying for the persecutors, welcoming the outsider, and loving the enemy. It is here that Jesus is extending the Leviticus code beyond the familiar tribe of Israel. Jesus is instructing his disciples that it means that we will meet up with those whom we would rather not come into contact. We will encounter those outside of our immediate circles with whom the principles learned from Jesus would rather not share. And when we do, we are to love them just as Jesus and God loves us. Yes, the call to us as Christians is to love the way God loves, choosing to act with compassion and to love without discrimination, to expand the boundaries of our concerns beyond those that are familiar to us. Holiness is not characterized by a state of being, but how one acts in everyday places and relationships. From Leviticus, we learn that when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleaning of your harvest. In doing this, as you harvest your crop, you choose to leave some of the grain you have dropped and to leave uncut the edges of your property so that Ruth or some other poor soul like her does not go to bed hungry that evening. Jesus means exactly what he says in Matthew. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus is challenging his disciples to go the extra mile and do the exact opposite of what seems normal and reasonable. Jesus was setting forth a set of values in which his disciples should aspire. This is difficult. Absolutely, this is difficult. But that's the point. By striving towards them, we live better than we would otherwise. Jesus is asking us to go the extra mile, to go beyond the strict reading of the law, and to reflect God's holiness in our everyday lives with those we know and the strangers we encounter. The whole subject of holiness can make us uncomfortable. At least it does me. After all, it is fine for God to be holy. But me? Us? Everybody knows that God is holy, but we have a pretty good sense that most of us are not holy, or maybe not holy enough. What Jesus is telling us is that holiness is not reserved for God alone, or Saint Francis, or Mother Teresa. We can't let our discomfort become an excuse to let ourselves off the hook. For both these scriptures remind us that we are all on the hook for being holy. Jesus says to Moses, speak to all of the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Everyone, the whole congregation, is called to be holy. Being holy is what any person created in God's image is called to be, or better yet, to do. The work of being holy is that, just that. It's work. It's swimming against the tide of today's prevailing ways. It is to live counterculturally. And that is not easy. But together, we are stronger in living out this call of Jesus's. Our lives and communities of faith help us to live counterculturally with the Holy Spirit acting as our guide. The good news is that there are no excuses. As people of faith, it is very clear. These commandments are given to us by God. Our faith makes a difference. We are called to go the extra mile, to a different kind of life. We are called to a different way. I am the Lord, your God. Keeping the Holy One in view is key to our becoming holy. It is how we can shape our daily lives as people of God. But we are to follow these words not because of an ethical or social commitment, but because these laws were given to us by God. Let's reflect on that for a moment. These laws were given to us by God. Let's sit with it. God is here now, with us. God is commanding us to treat others as we want to be treated, to love others as ourselves. It is really that powerful and that straightforward. Jesus makes it clear that loving one's neighbor is integrally related to loving God. The law is God's treasure map to the blessedness of which God has claimed us. Jesus is calling us to a more radical way of following, a call to the highest and best within us. To be holy is to be perfect in the way God loves, to practice the way of compassion and giving as God has demonstrated to us in the life of Jesus Christ. Because this perfection has to do with love, which is self-giving, it is geared toward the other, and it has little to do with our concepts of perfection. In fact, the perfect life might just be seen as the life of love of God for self and for others. This takes us out of our nervous self-concern and into relationship with community. In fact, the root meaning of the word perfect is undivided, whole, complete. It means perfection in the sense of treating people in the same way that God treats people. Following the teaching of Jesus, then, leads to wholeness and completeness in all aspects of life and in all people, not by focusing on the self, but on living and loving the other. We are caught in this tension between human nature and being children of God. To be perfect is to assure us that we are not alone in the world, that God continues to work in us and through us. Perfection is less about getting things right and more about loving as God loves. Jesus is God's concrete example of that love. Being perfect, being holy, is a promise that carries the possibility that we may love the world as God loves us, fully, richly, abundantly, and completely. We are holy because God is holy. I am the Lord. The directives do not merely describe how we're to act, but how to serve as a powerful description of who God is and how God acts in the world. God is generous, therefore we are to be generous. God is honest and just, therefore we are to be honest and just. God does not hate, therefore we do not hate. God loves all of us, therefore we are to love all others. What does living a holy life look like? Jesus sums that up for us in Matthew. A holy life is embodied in love. Love God, love yourself, and love others. It's about integrity and dignity and self-worth, never blaming or shaming others, but being accountable for one's own thoughts, words, and behavior. Working to change oneself and not others. Holiness is at least not making life difficult for somebody or standing idly by when a neighbor is in trouble. You are holy when you do not gossip or slander or hold a grudge. You are holy when you are fair to everyone equally, your neighbor and the person that aggravates you. You are holy when you are welcoming to the immigrant as you are to those at the coffee hour. You are holy when you visit the sick or the infirmed. You are holy when you teach children in the way of God. Holiness is being a good employer, a good partner, a good friend. We are called to be holy in our life together, in the neighborhood and beyond. Holiness looks like Jack. Jack is a college student who works at the reception desk at a hotel in Boston to help pay his tuition. Last week, in the midst of the snowstorms, Jack was scheduled to work. There are no snow days when you're working in the hospitality industry. First, though, he needed to shovel the apartment stairs and walkways. And all he had was his lone, flimsy shovel. The snow was heavy and wet, and there was a lot of it. He was cold and tired. But wouldn't you know, Just as he had removed enough snow to navigate to the street, he received a text not to come into work. Jack's friends, who were passing by, encouraged him to join them for a beer. Then down the street, he noticed an older woman, a stranger. She, too, was trying to get down the stairs of her apartment building. Yet the snow was making it impossible. She was literally stuck. There was no moving forward. In that moment, Jack felt called to go the extra mile, to live out God's love for the stranger and act with compassion. He took his flimsy shovel and cleared that woman's stairs and walkway. He made sure she got safely to the T. Then he and his friends, perhaps acting counterculturally, spent the afternoon shoveling out the residents of Mission Hill. Living a holy life means letting our decisions be guided by God's Holy Spirit. It means allowing each moment to be all it can be. Holiness is living with the goal of the Christian life in mind. Holiness is surrendering ourselves to the will of God, and at the same time, it is grasping each moment and making it all it can be, just as Jack did. Each event in our life is an opportunity to change, to grow, and to become a better vision of ourselves. And that grasping of each moment is holiness. Holiness is allowing God to fill every corner of our being. That is when we truly become the best version of ourselves. Holiness is being set apart for God. It is the desire to do God's will, and yet the desire for holiness in itself is a gift from God. Jesus invites us to rely on him, to see goodness as more than the Leviticus morality, more than the measured, balanced, upright life, as good as that is. Jesus shows us in his own person the perfection that builds on and extends holiness, the strength of the one who, in obedience to God, gives of one's very own self. Guided by the Holy Spirit, graced by Christ, let us go the extra mile as we leave this place today. Amen.